Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your presence here in this place. Without your presence, there's no point in being here. And I just pray that your presence would overwhelm each and every one of us, that we would get completely lost in your presence, God, because there's really nothing else that matters but being with you. I just speak your presence over your people, that they'd be acutely aware of your touch in their lives, that they would be attuned to your voice speaking to them now. And I pray that you would do exceedingly above all that they could hope or even ask for. And I thank you for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
So hope everyone had a good week. I still think it's too cold. And I think I'll probably stay that way until I see like around 80 here. But yeah, there is hope. There is hope. Last week I told you that earlier this year, I always expect the Lord to give me a word for the church going into the year, just to have an idea of, you know, what he might want to accomplish. And I got a word, but it was nothing that I expected and really don't know what to do with it, but I'm going to throw it out at you anyways. Maybe it was just for me, but I think it can be applied to any of us at any time. It was just two words. Choose wisely. And, you know, I thought of my life, and there's a lot of things that have been happening over the last year or 2 years in my life, at home, at work, and here, and just a lot of things. And so many things you have to make decisions about and choices about. And so I did what, you know, every intelligent person does nowadays and Googled. You know, so you get all your information, right? I just, how many choices or decisions do you have to make a day? Right? 35,000 on average. Which I thought, wow, that's a lot. And read a little about it. They say 95% of those are subconscious. They're not really brought to where you're actually thinking about them. You just make them. But it still leaves like 2.5 per minute that you got to consciously think about and decide on what to do. Still think that's a lot. But I got to thinking, if 95% of my behavior or things I do or choose to do is dictated without me thinking about it, I may want to be careful on what's in here, because it's coming out without me thinking about it. So I thought, how do I even begin to choose wisely? And he led me to a couple places, but let's just talk about choosing first. How many know the first thing God did when he created was give you the ability to choose? Yeah, he's pro-choice, yeah. He tells you to choose life. He's pro-choice. That's the first thing he did. He even gave him a task so he could choose the names of all the animals. You know, choosing is very important, and there's a reason why he says choose wisely. Even the word says to choose wisely. Joshua 24:15, you know this verse. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. And it goes on to say, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. You know, that is something that should be so ingrained in you that you don't have to think about it. What naturally comes out is your decisions are ones that serves the purposes of the Lord. But how do you get to that place, to where that naturally comes out? Deuteronomy 30, verse 19 says this. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life. God is pro-choice. you're going to choose wisely, you'll choose life. So God is pro-life. So that you and your children may live. And that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. See, there's a reason he not only gives you a choice, but he assists you along in the process of how to choose. What's the right path and what's the wrong path? He didn't leave you to your own devices, thank God. Psalms 25, verse 12. I just had like a smattering of scripture. I don't know what's going to come out. Typically I like to have a point that I can reinforce. This is just, it's like a buffet. So eat whatever you like. Psalms 25, verse 12. Who then are those who fear the Lord? He will instruct them in the ways they should choose. They will spend their days in prosperity, and their descendants will inherit the land. The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. He will instruct you in the way you should choose. If you will put him first, seek ye first. See, the Bible's really full of directions for you. He's laid it all out to make life really simple. If things aren't going the way you think they should go, probably you're not choosing the right way. Because he's really laid it out. We talked about rest last week. If you choose appropriately, in all things you will be able to rest in him. You will not take the burden of life upon yourself. Instead, you will control life because that's what he's given you authority to do. So control life here. Proverbs 8, verse 10. Choose my instruction instead of silver. Knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Choose wisely. Ephesians 5, verse 15. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity. Because the days are evil, therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. So I was thinking all about these choices and all these things, and I was like, wow, if 30 plus thousand choices in my life every day are being made by me without me thinking about it, I want the right stuff inside me. If you want the right stuff coming out of you, you need to put the right stuff in you. So it led me to two things. You only live two ways and serve God properly. Two. You love his word and you love his spirit. He's given us his word and he's given us his spirit. Those are the only two things you need to guide you in all of life. That's it. So what I want to talk about today in choosing wisely is simply this. I want to lay out some scriptures to talk about the importance of the word of God in your life. I think some people have approached this religiously and they have a definite discipline in reading the word of God. That's great. That's absolutely great. I tend to approach it relationally. And that's even better. There was nothing wrong with Martha and Mary. Both had a good approach. One chose a better way. Okay? Do what works for you. But understand, I eat food every day because it sustains my body. If you're not feeding on the Word of God, you're not sustaining your spirit, and the wrong stuff's going to come out because something's going to fill you. So, John 1, verse 1, figured we'd start in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Through the Word, all things were made. All things exist through the Word. Unattached to the Word, all things deteriorate because it is the source of all things. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. See, there's two kinds of word here. We have the Bible, his written word, but there's a living word. His name's Jesus. And he's invited you into a relationship with himself. And you can rely on reading the Word of God, and I suggest read as much as you can. We don't give enough time to reading the Word of God in our normal day. We do not. I don't care if you're reading 6 hours a day, give it seven. We don't spend enough time in the Word of God. But you know what we neglect even more? Our relationship with Jesus. We do not spend enough time relating with Jesus, talking, inviting him into every moment of our day. There is no time that you can't bring him into a relationship. I can be talking to Gary and talking with Jesus at the same time. He can be talking things to me that can come out of my mouth and touch Gary just the way he needs to be touched. He's invited into it. I told my wife, God's invited into my bedroom. There is nothing just mine and hers. Our intimacy, he's part of. I don't withhold that from him. He has all of me, every aspect. And if she's one with me, which he's made her one with me, all of her and all of me together are his. It's holy because he's made it holy. He's not absent of it. Jesus needs to be invited into every aspect of your life. Why? So you choose wisely. He is the foundation of your very existence. The Word in the beginning, he's the foundation. We have to read the Word, and we have to relate to the Word. 2 Timothy 3:16. Now there are tons and tons of benefits to reading the Word of God, to studying the Word of God, to relating with the person, the Word of God. We would spend the rest of our lives talking about them. But I got a few minutes. So, and I don't want to belabor it. I want you to understand the importance of the Word. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. All Scripture. That means every single word. All Scripture is God-breathed. You know, when you read the Scripture, you're relating to the one who brought life into the Scripture. It's God-breathed and is useful for you to teach you to choose wisely, to rebuke you to choose wisely, to correct you so you choose wisely, and to train you in righteousness so you're choosing wisely. So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. See, if you'll simply stay on your foundation, read the Word of God, relate to the Word of God, you are fully equipped because everything you need has been provided to you in his Word. In the beginning was the Word, he was with God, and he was God. He didn't just leave you with a book. He left you with himself. It's living, it's breathing, it's active. It's life-giving power. What are you feeding on? Psalms 119, really great book in the Bible. It's really long, but it says so much stuff. I could have read the whole thing. Verse 9. How can a young person stand the path of purity? Pretty hard these days. Matter of fact, you don't hear it talked about a lot. You don't hear it instructed a lot that it's even important. You know, but the Bible does. By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. See, if so many things that we're choosing, we're not actually pausing and thinking about, reasoning with our own mind, actively pursuing, and they just happen because what's in here is what's important. What needs to be in here? It's really important that he wrote his words upon our heart. So what our choices reflect are what's in our heart. He said, I've hidden your words in my heart so I won't sin against you. You want to choose wisely? Continue to hide his words in your heart. Don't just read the words, okay? Because they really can go out up here when they need to go in down here. Continuing in Psalms 119, verse 97, so I skipped a few. You're welcome. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands are always with me and make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. You've seen the benefits. I have kept my feet from every evil path so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. It's through his word that you choose wisely. His word is so important to our very lives. Proverbs 4, verse 20 says, my son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Romans 10, verse 17. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hebrews 4:12. Not only is there many benefits of the word of God and sustaining us, providing us spiritual nutrition, and even physical nutrition. But there is power that comes with you feeding on the word of God. If you lack power, get into the word. If you're not seeing things happen in your life, get into the word. Faith comes through the word. For the word of God is alive and active. It's not just something you read. It's something that does something when you read it. Sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. There's power in the Word. It's so important to be in His Word. We're going to live our lives and choose wisely. Psalms 1, verse 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on His law day and night. Here's the benefit. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaves do not wither. Whatever they do prospers. You know, you think about all these things that we're talking about in life, all these choices, and the burden that He lifts off of you so you can rest in Him. When you realize if you're just letting His Word guide you, you can't make a wrong choice. Because His Word says, whatever I'll do will prosper. You start to understand what the word means when it says, if you lose your life, you'll gain it. You start to understand what it says, you know, you died and rose with Christ. All those things that you used to want, all the choices you used to make, lead to death and destruction. They didn't bring life, but He's provided life in you. If you simply look at His word, when you do the will of God, life is abundant. You lose nothing, you gain it all. Sometimes we're too smart for our own good. We're so stupid. We just think we know better. Instead of just doing what He tells us to do and rest in Him. I don't know. You know, if I had to do surgery on my body, I'd probably rest in the one that has studied the body. Better yet, the one who created it. Better yet, the one I can rest in, and He says, no matter what, I'll have abundant life. Why would I take those burdens upon myself when all I have to do is relate with Him and all these wonderful things happen? And He's opened the door to eternity to me. And He's sharing eternal truths now that I can pull into this temporal time that we have together and show others that there's a better way to live. How do you always make the right choices? I don't. It's not my problem. I do the right things because I put the right things in. If I get it wrong, He'll take care of it. Why? Because I'm pursuing Him. Now, oh, by the way, if you're a visitor, I'm Bruce. Yeah. I'm one of the elders here, but been around a while. We are a presence-centered people. And no matter what happens, I won't apologize for that. Period. I'd rather have us mess up in the presence of God than pursue things that aren't part of the presence of God. I want the presence of God. It's only in the presence of God that His kingdom is. And I want to be fully in the kingdom of God even now. It's His presence that matters. We're going to pursue His presence no matter what. If we get it wrong, He'll straighten us out. He's a good God. You don't have to worry about messing up in the kingdom of God. Everything gets straightened out. It's okay. It's really okay. We don't have to be afraid of making a mistake with one another. Gary will forgive me. He will. I haven't messed up, but he would forgive me if I messed up. You know, there's something about being in the family of God when you know that all that matters is to get in His presence. Everything will be right. You know, all the lady wanted to do was touch the hem of His garment. So all that mattered. Jesus didn't do jack but walk down the road. He didn't. He didn't pause and say, someone just needs to touch the hem of my garment. And if they do, I'm going to do this. No, she obtained something, and he said, who touched me? When everyone was touching him, and virtue left him. That's who you are. That's what we are when we're together, and we're choosing wisely because we choose him. Do we always feel like worshiping? No, he's always worthy of worship. I don't care if we feel like it. My wife looks at me all the time, and she goes, they're talking about joy, and you're so stoic. Yeah, I'll work on it. Show me better, you know. I like being around happy people, even when I'm stoic. I love being around people that are spiritually inebriated, totally lost in the presence of God, so absolutely appear just drunk, slap, silly, stupid. They're great to be around. For some reason, I'm just around them. I'm not partaking in whatever they're partaking of. But it's an atmosphere where you know where God's moving and God's doing things. You want to see miracles? Focus on God. You know, when there's peace in the midst of a storm, you focus on peace. Why? Because he's present. You want to choose wisely. Stay in his presence. Whatever you'll do will prosper. James 1, verse 22. Now, some of you need to figure out what this means to you today. Because, I don't know, it's not like I get tired of preaching, especially if I feel God's giving me something to say, but I get tired of not seeing change. God doesn't speak to you and leave you how you are. He speaks to you to move you from glory to glory to glory till eventually you're fully mature and he can't wait to bring you home. There should be a change happening in us because we're growing in him. We're growing in our experience with him, and we're growing in our knowledge and understanding of him. We're understanding relationship with him and a relationship with one another. We grow together. James 1, verse 22 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. I told my wife today, I said, you know, I don't want to speak if people aren't going to run down to the altar anymore. I really don't. What's wrong with us? If God's present, we should want to close ourselves in with him. There's altar calls and we sit there. That's a rebuke, by the way. Just in case, I mean it. I'm talking to myself too. I spoke a couple years ago on a message when my partner died about being found unresponsive. We are not going to be an unresponsive people. When there's a call, we should respond. When a leader, whether from the platform or whatever, has a call, when there's a direction, we should respond. Why? What's the worst that could happen? You pray for somebody, they don't get healed? Wow. What if you pray for somebody, they do get healed? What if you pray for somebody, they don't get healed, but they were so moved by your compassion for them that it changed their day? You don't know what God wants to do. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at the face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Be a blessed people. Digest the word of God. And let that word make you choose wisely so you do the things of God. Don't just listen to the words. Be doers of the word. So if you'll stand with me, I'll call you up to come. communion in a second. I have one last verse. His word is so important. We don't spend enough time in his word. We do not spend enough corporate time in his word. How do I know? Because I only see you for an hour and a half on Sunday. We, together, corporately, do not spend enough time in his word. We have to provide more opportunity. I love the women to have a Bible study. There's lots of little Bible studies going on. Awesome. We need more. Why? Because we need to spend more time in his word. We need to spend more time together in his presence. We need to be more involved in each other's lives. And you say, what about time? There's 24 hours a day. That's not going to change. He will help you choose wisely. I've had God make it to where it's like 36 hours a day because I didn't think that much could get done in a day. There was still only 24. It just felt like more. Why? Because I could rest in him. He'll do that for you. 1 Peter 1, verse 23. For you have been born again. If you haven't been born again, if you haven't accepted Jesus as your Savior, you need to make that decision today. Choose wisely. You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is a word that was preached to you. See, when you eat of the word, it has eternal consequences. Not one word you've ever digested will stop sustaining you for eternity. It's never a waste of time to spend time in his word. Never a waste of time to spend time with the word. Everything else can be a waste of time. But if you'll do it the right way and choose wisely, everything else will be blessed and prospered because it'll be directed by him. So let's remember his word. Let's remember the importance of his word as we come together and share communion. Would you please come?